While others gather with us, let's turn to a few hymns and sing to God's praise. Number 200, Grace is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear, heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Remain excited while we sing, please. Let's sing our very best and make sure the volume is raised in the singing of these lovely hymns, please. Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Heard an old story how the Saviour came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary.
Thank you.
hymn tonight is the hymn 195, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. It's our opening hymn. We'll stand together after the note, please. Let's all stand, let's sing our very best for opening. Unite our hearts together in prayer, seek the Lord's face as we come to the commencement of this another gospel opportunity. Let's earnestly seek the Lord's face in prayer that he would come and presence himself with us. We gather in vain if we have not the Lord's presence. But what a blessing to have that promise to be where the two or three are gathered together in his name. Our loving Father, we thank thee for that fount of every blessing. We thank thee for the joy that is in our hearts tonight, even as we come to the house of God, that we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We thank thee for each one in this gathering who can raise their Ebenezer and their praise to thee, and they can thank thee for the grace of God in their lives. We thank thee, our loving Father, this evening for the love of God in Christ, that love that brought the Savior from the realms of glory and came into this old sin-cursed world to redeem a people unto himself. We thank thee this evening that we are gathered here not because of a religion, not because of a denomination, gathered here tonight because of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. Because God has made it possible that sinful, fallen man can be reconciled to a holy God. And our loving Father, we thank thee for thy goodness to us already this day, and that we've met in the house of God. We've heard thy speaking voice. And our loving Father, we pray that thou will forgive us for the lack of love that we have for thee. We thank thee for the challenge of the Word of God this day. And we pray that thou wilt enable us each day to live with that love of God reigning and abiding in our hearts. That we will love thee with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We can only do that by the grace of God and the indwelling power of God, the Holy Spirit. And Father in heaven, we're not unmindful of those who as yet are still strangers to the love of God. They've never as yet come to experience what it is to have their sins forgiven and to be reconciled to God and to know the joy of sins forgiven. But we pray, our loving Father, that in this service tonight, and whoever it would be that might listen in, that if that is their state, that, oh, that this would be the night of their salvation. We thank Thee that You have brought our footsteps again into the house of God. We thank Thee for the service that has been arranged and for my dear brother who has been brought along in the providence of God to give that personal word of testimony. We believe that all things are ordered and ordained by Thee. Therefore, this service is in the divine plan and purpose of a holy God. And we pray that Thou will bless Thy servant as he comes to relate to us the grace of God in his life. And we pray that this night there will be a very God consciousness. There will be a very real sense of Thy presence, something that hasn't been worked up, something that's not of the flesh, something that's not of anything that we have done, but oh, because it will be noised abroad that God in the midst of her doth dwell. That this will be a meeting that will count for eternity. This will be a meeting where there will be those who will look back to this night and rejoice that they sat under the sound of the Word of God and that they were in the house of God. We thank Thee for all who've come, and Thou dost know every heart. We say tonight, like Hagar, Thou, God, seest me. Thou dost see us all in our circumstances and our situations and in everything in relation to us. And we pray that Thou wilt come and meet the need of every heart. Think of those who tonight carry burdens. Burdens that we know nothing about. We thank Thee that Thou art the burden bearer, casting all our care upon Thee, for Thou dost care for us. And we pray for those who this night are going through a dark valley. Oh, that Thou wouldst encourage them to know that Thy loving arms are around them and Thy presence is with them. And so continue with us in these moments that we spend in the house of God. May all that's said and done be to the honor and glory of Thy name. Amen. For we ask these things in the Savior's precious and all-prevailing name. Amen. Amen. I want to further sing to God's praise that lovely hymn. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask Him the way of salvation and light. The Master would answer in words true and plain. You know, the gospel's simple tonight. He must be born again. Let's all stand again while we sing. Thank you. that final verse again. We'll get the note and then we'll sing it unaccompanied. Dear one in heaven, my heart yearns to see. There are families in this congregation and they're not united in Christ. There's loved ones have gone into the glory. They long to see you with them. You know, we sing these hymns not for entertainment or to be socially correct, or we sing them with a purpose and a message. You think about the words of this hymn as we sing it. We'll get the note and we'll sing the verse and the chorus. But you think very, very seriously about what's being said. A dear one.
For leading on family night in the opening songs. Really appreciate that, and we're delighted to see all who have come. You're a believer here tonight and you've been singing this hymn. I'm sure there are those in heaven and you long to see. I have loved ones there, I have friends there, I have colleagues there, and we long to see them again. And won't that be a great reunion day when we meet in the presence of the Lord on the fair shores of the heavenly Canaan. Welcome in the Saviour's name to our family night tonight, and welcome to those that are joining us on the internet. And if you're a visitor here tonight and looking across the congregation, we have some visitors in. We're very glad to see you. We trust you feel at home and coming here tonight that you will be blessed indeed. The bit that excites those who lead the service here is really the announcements, and they're so excited they don't want to do it. Isn't that right? Oh, Mervyn's gone. They're so afraid of making the announcements, he's disappeared completely. But that's left to the preacher, so we're very glad to do that. Want to remind you, supper will be served tonight. We invite you to stay. It gives an opportunity to chat together, to converse. It's fellowship. We call it the fellowship area. And it's true that some Christians don't maybe see other Christians very often. Might be from one week to another, might be back on a Thursday night. But through the week, you don't really get to see one another. This is a chance to enjoy fellowship. In the incoming week, tomorrow's a bank holiday, so the Hebron Tots will not be meeting in the morning. But things will resume to normal after Monday. So Tuesday morning, the senior fellowship will be meeting here at 11 a.m. And the seniors is just an informal time when we gather together, we enjoy a cup of tea, coffee, something to eat, time of fellowship, and you are invited. 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. Tuesday night there's a special prayer meeting that has been called for our Christian school. We are greatly in need of teachers in order to keep our school opened in September, and therefore we have called together the management committee, the parents and friends of the school, a prayer meeting, and you are invited to come. We trust that many of you will lay aside Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock to come and pray with us. So the advert, pardon me, that has been going out urgently needed to full-time teachers, and that's for the new term in September. Here's something that you can make a special matter of prayer. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock. Each month we divide it into certain nights what we pray for, and this is the night that we give over to our youth ministry. So we will be praying for the young people of the church especially. Their meeting is Friday night at 8 o'clock. The Lord's Day begins with prayer at 8 o'clock. Sunday school is at 10:30. And remember, Stephen is standing in for one of our Bible class leaders, our brother Phil, this coming Lord's Day to speak at the Bible class at 11:15, speaking on personal testimonies of this man. Youth Sunday is next Lord's Day. We look forward to that because our youth fellowship will be responsible for the meetings. The worship service is at 12 noon. Brother David McCauley, still with us now, will be going out to serve the Lord in Uganda in the very near future with his wife and family. But David will be responsible for the preaching. The young people will take part by way of leading, praying, reading, testifying, and so forth. The same in the evening time, only the Reverend Jonathan Story will be coming up from Mount Marion to preach the word. And we're looking forward to renewing fellowship with one of our own, namely Jonathan. Supper will be served, and ladies, if you can bring half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns. There is a choir practice for the youth tonight. When we think of next Lord's Day, you'll be singing. But after the service next Sunday night, we want the young adults of the youth fellowship and others, if you come to the church here and maybe you don't go along on a Friday night and you're a young adult, we will want to meet with you just to talk to you about some possible idea of getting the young adults together for seasons of fellowship, to keep you together, keeping it on with the Lord, and that is so important. Tomorrow week, the 13th of May, at the Sunday School Teachers' Normal Prayer Meeting, it'll be an outreach evening on behalf of the Sunday School. Meeting at the church at 7:15, the outreach will continue till 8:30 or so, and then come back here to the church for a time of prayer. And anyone who has an interest in children's work or outreach work, it's for you. And we would want you to be with us on the doors as the Sunday School teachers reach out to our town on behalf of the Sunday School. The following week, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow, down in Lurgan, there is a Let the Bible Speak recording. We'll be preaching at one of those in the need of congregation, and there is a sheet at the door for you to put your name on that. Please come and support the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. These are all the announcements to make. We will bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord, and we'll get Mervyn to lead in the singing. Amen.
I have returned. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. We'll remain seated for the opening verses of the hymn while the evening tithe and offering is lifted, please.
Thank you.
be seated. It's a personal joy for me to welcome to the pulpit tonight Mr. Colin McKee. Colin is an elder in Cumber Free Presbyterian Church. He's also the treasurer of our presbytery, does a very vital work on behalf of our presbytery. And he has a very good eating place outside Newton Ards. If you've never been to it, we can recommend it. He will be modest and maybe won't want to mention it tonight, but it's a great place to eat. And if you need the address, we can let you have the address as well. But Colin, you're very, very welcome to Hebron tonight. We're going to ask you to come and give your testimony. This is how we've been advertising you, faith, farming, and food. And we look forward to what you're going to tell us tonight. May the Lord be with you in your testimony.
I want to thank the Reverend Park for that welcome and also for the wee plug. Next time you're in, we'll look after you, Reverend Park, for that wee plug tonight. But yes, he can come too. But it is good to be here in Ballymoney. And I want to thank the session too for the invitation to come here. It also is good to look around and then to see some friends from Cumber here and also other friends from not far away. And it's good to be here with you tonight. I wonder could we turn in the Word of God to Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121, and we'll just read this psalm together. Psalm 121. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We know the Lord will bless even the public reading of his word. Let's just bow and seek the Lord's help even tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. We thank you, Lord, for the promises in it. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt come and give help. We pray that every word will be from thee, that thou wilt be pleased to speak to each and every heart through what thou hast done for me. May even, Lord, there be a soul here tonight be challenged, Lord, even about their need to be saved. May God's people be encouraged, even in what the Lord can do. Lord, just continue with us now, in our Savior's name. Amen. I was born in Newton Ards, the youngest of three. I had two older sisters, and we were brought up on a farm. Both of my parents were saved and loved the Lord and sought to teach us from an early age of our need to be saved. We belonged to the Presbyterian Church in Newton Ards. My father was an elder there. And on a Sunday evening, we went to the Craigantlet Mission Hall, which was just a mile or so up the road. Daddy also ran that with a few other men. And he also ran the Faith Mission Prayer Union, which was also held up there in the Mission Hall. So on a Sunday, we started off in Sunday school in the church. And then in the afternoon, we went to church in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we would have went to maybe a children's meeting in a local house run by the CEF. And then in the evening, we went to the Craigantlet Mission Hall and then back to the church for the youth fellowship. So Sunday was always a very busy day in our house. Many other gospel meetings that were on in the area at that time, we were taken along. I knew of my need to be saved. I knew that the rest of my family were saved, and I was not. I knew that if I died, I would go to a lost eternity in hell. But that was as far as it went, even in those early years. I was brought up in a Christian home, but not saved. You know, I feel it is a very great blessing to be brought up in a Christian home, and something that we should never, ever take for granted. And I would encourage the young people here tonight, you thank the Lord for the privilege that you have of being brought up even in that Christian home. One night at the age of 11, we were taken along to a tent mission in Bangor. You know, there as I sat in that great tent, there must have been over 1,000 people there that night. But it was as if the evangelist was preaching just to me. That night, the Lord really spoke to my heart. God was speaking through the preaching of his precious word. And I knew like never before that night that I was a sinner in the eyes of a holy God. I knew that all my going to church could not save me. I knew that relying upon my parents' salvation was not enough. God's word tells us in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friends, one way and only one, through Christ and Christ alone. Through his finished work, which he accomplished upon the cross of Calvary, I knew that night that I could do nothing to save myself. It was only through what Christ had done for me upon the cross. He had paid the debt of my sin, which I could never pay. He had taken my place upon the cross of Calvary. He had shed his precious blood even for my sins. And there in that tent, at the end of that meeting, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to take my sin away and give me everlasting life. And praise the Lord, he did. You know, I have heard of many different people give their testimonies, especially in the mission hall days, with the people coming all the time and giving their testimony and telling how the Lord saved them and the great joy they had in their hearts when they got saved. And I knew exactly what they were talking about now, that my sins were forgiven. You know, maybe tonight you are here and you've been brought up as I was in a Christian home. Maybe you've been taken along to many meetings, children's meetings, youth meetings, normal church meetings every Sunday. You could quote even many well-known verses of God, brought up in the things of God. Maybe even you think that the fact that your parents are saved or the fact that you have gone to all these meetings will somehow be enough to save you and help you find favor with the Lord on that great judgment day. Some might say, well, I go to my church regularly. I even support the work of the church. I even pay my tithes into the church. Friends, you know, this is all very commendable. But the church can't save you. This church can't save you. It's only through Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You know, maybe a young person here tonight, you're from a Christian home and you've been brought up through the church. And you know in your heart you're not saved. Maybe even everyone around you, maybe they think you are saved. Maybe you just look and act even as if you are saved. You run about with all our Christian friends. But yet tonight you know in your heart that your heart's not right with God. Oh, I would urge you and encourage you even tonight that you would come and put your faith and trust even in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said at the start I was brought up on a farm. And from as far back as I can remember, that was all that I ever wanted to do, was to work at home with my father on the farm. I didn't enjoy school at all. I remember going into the secondary school. We were taken into this big assembly hall on the very first day. I remember staring all around this big hall. And I remember seeing these words up on the right-hand side of the wall, they're written in chalk. And it simply said, if your birthday falls between July and August, you can leave school when you're 15. And I said to myself, well, that's my goal for the next 4 years, God willing. I got through the 4 years, and at the age of 15, in April, I left school at that time and went to work with my father on the farm, and I was just so happy. And as you would expect, whenever our children were at school, and I was always encouraging them, you need to work hard at school, you need to do plenty of studying and exams, they always used to remind me, Daddy, you needn't talk, for you didn't do any exams. And you didn't study, so I had to watch what I said. But they've all done well, so we thank the Lord even for that. But you know, now I was at home, and I was happy doing what I loved. I thank the Lord at that time that I had good Christian friends to run about with. It's so, so important, young people, here tonight, that you have good Christian company. We went along to all the different meetings that were on in those days, to all the youth rallies. Probably we weren't always going, even for the right reasons, just to see who was there. But yet we were in God's house. We were amongst God's people. And you know, we were able to encourage one another, even in the things of God. And I thank the Lord tonight, you know, for the young people here. Seek out the company of God's own people, that they would encourage you, that they would encourage you, and that you would encourage them. You know, so many fall into the wrong company, and they end up far even away from God. You know, I know even in my own life at that time, there was still something missing in my life. Yes, I was going on with the Lord, seeking to live for the Lord, but something wasn't right. Remember the Reverend Samuel Murray, who was our minister at that time? And he said to me one night after a meeting, he said, you know, Colin, if the Lord calls you into some part of his service, you'll have to go. You'll have to go. You'll have to give up the farm and the cows and the cattle, and you'll have to go and do God's will. You know, that night I remember going home, those words were ringing in my head. You'll have to go and do God's will. You know, many times I had prayed, Lord, your will be done in my life. But you know, they were just words, just rolled off my tongue. I didn't really mean it. I had only one desire, and that was to farm and to work at home. But you know, the Lord brought those words back to me time and time again over the next few weeks. And the Lord brought me to the point one night. I remember getting down at the end of my bed, and I just said, right, Lord, I mean business. And I got down and I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, forgive me in the past, I haven't meant what I prayed, but now I mean it. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. And you know, the Lord gave me a wonderful peace and a wondrous sense of his presence, just to know and be in the center of God's will. You know, young people here, I would encourage you, you seek God's will for your life. You lay your all upon the altar for him. And you say, Lord, your will be done. And young people, you do it. You do whatever the Lord wants you to do. I bring you up to September 1995. We had just finished the harvest that year, and we were drying grain and hauling it into the mill in Belfast. Remember that Monday morning, putting a load of grain in the trailer. And after that, I didn't feel too well, and I had to go and lie down. You know, I was never sick or anything, but this pain in my head that I had just seemed to get worse and worse, so much so that even the very light shining into the bedroom was making me worse. I have a great fear of doctors, hospitals, and especially needles. Not the needles that we put into the cattle, but the ones that the doctors and the nurses use. I had never been ill in my life, but before, so it was just so worrying for me to be in this place. But you know, I asked my mother, I says, you may ring the doctor, because I'm not well. And the doctor came out, he sent me straight down to the Ulster Hospital. And there they gave me a medication to ease the pain. But it didn't seem to make much difference. On the Tuesday, they moved me up to the neurosurgical ward in the Royal Victoria Hospital. It was a place where there was a lot of very sick and very ill people. A lot of people with head injuries and just very people that were very, very ill. I did several scans on my head and discovered that there was a fluid had built up between my brain and my skull, and it was this that was giving me the pain. They decided that they would have to operate to remove this fluid. You know, again, as I said, I wasn't a good patient and had a great fear, but yet, you know, I had a wonderful sense of the Lord's presence at that time. I had no fear whatsoever of what lay ahead. And you know, it wasn't that my faith was strong. It was that God gave me the grace and the help right at the time I needed. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 tells us, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God gave me the grace and strength, not before, not after, but right at the time that I needed it most. Even as I was wheeled down through all the corridors to go and have the operation, I was thinking about those verses in Psalm 121, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My life was in the hands of the one who created all things. I was in his care even on that day. The operation was done, and the pain eased, and after a week or so, I was allowed to go home. The doctor seemed to think that the problem was sorted, and that this would be okay, and I would be fine now. After being at home for a week, I was sitting one Saturday night. Some friends had come in to see me, and we're sitting talking. And then all of a sudden, the pain started to come back again. I remember excusing myself and going to bed, but it just got worse and worse, so much so that they had to take me back up to the hospital again. Again on the Monday, they sedated me, but the fluid had built up again. So they took me back into theater again and drained it off, but this time it didn't make any difference. The pain was still there. And each day of that week, I was getting weaker and weaker, so much so that I could hardly even move in the bed. They did another scan on the Wednesday, and they discovered this time that there was a cyst on my brain that was leaking, and it was this cyst that was causing the fluid to build up and hence the pain on my head. They decided that they would have to operate to remove this. And I remember the surgeon coming up that evening late on to see me. And he said to me, he says, "You know, Colin, this operation is very, very serious. Just where this cyst is on your brain, you know, after this operation, you could end up even being paralyzed. And, you know, if worse comes to worse, you mightn't even make it through. You know, we don't know how it will go." I thanked him for coming up, and he went away. A wee while later, a nurse came in to get me to sign some forms. We got talking and discovered that she was saved. And I said to her that night, I said, "How the unsaved go through operations where they do not know if they will wake up again or not." And I thank the Lord that night that I wasn't hoping for the best as others do. Again, it was not that my faith was strong. It was God giving me the grace that I needed to get through at that time. You know, I remember praying to the Lord that night, and I said, "Lord, if it's your will to take me home in the morning, then that's okay." But he also prayed, "Lord, I've done nothing worthy." I just simply said, "Lord, your will be done." You know, I remember at that time, I believe it was harder even for my family than it was for me, for I was just there and there's nothing I could do. And yet they were very worried, very concerned even about my condition at that time. Again, the next morning as I was taken down to theater, Psalm 121, verse 3 tells us, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord was my keeper that day. The Lord God Almighty was my keeper. What had I to fear? The operation was done, and I woke up with a very sore head. The doctors were happy with how it had gone, and the cyst had been removed, and said that after a few days, hopefully, that things would improve. But you know, on the Saturday of that same week, infection set into my head, and my head started to swell up, so much so that by the Sunday morning, my eyes were completely closed. I was now very seriously ill because of the infection. I remember the Reverend Samuel Murray came up. I couldn't see him. I could just hear his voice. On the Sunday morning before church, I was lying there. I was totally unable to respond to him. I just knew he was there. I knew even in myself that I was very, very low. At this time, the doctors told my family that my life was in the balance, and the next few hours were critical, and that, you know, anything could happen. You know, at that time, I couldn't read God's word. I couldn't pray. But yet again, I knew the Lord's presence. I could feel the Lord's arms around about me at that time, and I knew that he was in control. You know, God always draws near to his people right at the time. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, that Sunday afternoon, there was a special prayer meeting held in our own church in Cumber, and in all our churches, God's people were praying. And you know, God heard the prayers even of his people, and God answered them, and just as quickly as that infection had set into my head, the infection started to ease and the swelling went down. And even on the Tuesday morning, I was sitting up in bed, able to eat my breakfast. Even the doctors and the nurses could not believe how quickly I recovered. The Lord really touched my head and took the infection away. And by Wednesday of that week, I was back home again. I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months and was to take 6 months off work. But you know, every day I was getting stronger and able to do small jobs. And long before the 6 months were up, I was back to normal again. After the 6 months, we had to go back for a review. And I remember the surgeon telling me, he says, "Colin, you have had a complete and a full recovery." He says, "I'm discharging you. I don't want to see you again." You know, I've met several people who have had the very same condition that I have. And you know, they never fully recovered. So every period of time, they have to have an operation. You know, I thank the Lord tonight for his healing hand upon me. I thank the Lord tonight that he heard the cries and the prayers, even of God's people. And the Lord brought me through that illness. And we give the Lord all the glory for what he did for me, even at that time. There's a young lady who had started coming to the church in Cumber. And through coming to the meetings and hearing the word of God, the Lord brought her under conviction of sin. And the Lord saved her. And it wasn't long before Linda was involved in the work of the church in Cumber. At that time, I wasn't able to drive, but Linda was always good at offering me a lift and taking me wherever I needed to go. And we started going out in January of 1996, and we were married in November of the same year. And I thank the Lord for Linda, and the Lord has brought us together, and we knew clearly it was His will for us to be husband and wife. You know, to those even here who are at this stage in life, I encourage you to seek God's will for who you should marry. Let the Lord be your guide. So important that you marry even in the will of God. And since then, the Lord has blessed us with four children, Isaac, Caleb, Faye, and Solomon. And we thank the Lord for saving each one of our children. Not long after we were married, we opened a shop in 1999. At that time, again, we prayed about this and we believed it was the Lord's will for us to do this. But even in our business, both on the farm and in the shop, we give the Lord all the glory for what He has done for us as a family. We've always sought to put 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30 into practice in our lives, where God says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." We of ourselves can do absolutely nothing. It's only with the Lord's help and His blessing we can do anything. There have been many difficulties, many trials, many problems. We have struggled at times even to see a way ahead, yet the Lord has always helped us through. Even in our business, isn't it great to know that we can take it to the Lord, we can pray about it, and that the Lord will seek, guide us and direct us in all that we do. And we can say that the Lord has never failed us, and we know He never will. My father went to be with the Lord nearly 5 years ago after a period of illness, and my mother nearly 3 years ago as well. As I said, they both saved and loved the Lord. But you know, Mum and Dad worked away very quietly for the Lord, and especially in their latter years when they were not involved in the farm or the shop. Until they passed away, I never really knew what Mum and Dad were involved in. Yes, I knew they were involved in different meetings and the faith mission, etc. But you know, Mum and Dad were very good at supporting and praying for missionaries of so many different missionary organizations, and evangelists, and faith mission pilgrims, and even laymen. You know, they called, and Mummy and Daddy would always have been people coming and going. Mum and Dad supported them and encouraged them. You know, my mother was always a great one for writing letters, especially those who were serving the Lord in far-off fields. And you know, what's really challenged me, even in my own life, they had a good testimony before the Lord, and also here on earth. They worked away quietly for the Lord. No one really knew what they did, only the Lord. You know how we need to pick up the mantle and fill that gap that has been left behind, even in the days in which we live. You know, I want to bring you up to May, 31st of May, 2022. We had a herd test on the farm that morning for TB. These tests are done on a regular basis by the Department of Agriculture. We started that morning at 5 a.m. And by 9 o'clock, we were bringing the last batch of cattle in for testing. In that batch, there are about 70 heifers, about 500 kilos. We buy cattle. That's what we do on the farm. We buy cattle in heavy stores, and we finish them. And then we put them through the shop and the business. Some of these cattle hadn't been in for very long, and probably they weren't used just to us or the way we work. But we always would go out and take a couple of bags of meal out to the field every day on the quad and just shake it out in front of them. And it means the cattle see the meal bag coming or the quad. They usually would follow you wherever you want to go because they think they're going to get fed. You know, that morning we wanted to get them out of the field and bring them down the lane. My son and daughter, Isaac and Faye, were in front of them, and I was behind on the quad. They ran out of the field and followed the bag of meal that Isaac had and headed down a long lane. They were walking along nice and steady, but about halfway down the lane, the cattle stopped, and I stepped off the quad just to shoo them on as you would do. But just at this point, I noticed that the middle of the group were all turning and heading back towards me. There were a few cattle in this batch that were a bit wild. I remember stepping back onto the quad, and I thought, well, I'll throw it into reverse because I'll not be able to run back up this lane quickly enough to get out of the way. You know, this all happened in seconds. You know, I work with cattle every day and have done since a child, and would think nothing of standing in front of an animal and trying to stop it. But this time was different. I could feel a real fear coming down upon me. You know, I knew these cattle were not going to stop for anything. As I managed to get the bike into reverse and looked up, they'd all turned and were heading straight at me on the quad. Before I could do anything, they hit the front of the quad with me on it and flicked it up into the air. I remember landing back down on the ground and opening my eyes, and all I could see was the feet and the hooves heading straight for me. I remember just at that second saying, "Lord, this is it, my life's over. You're going to take me home to heaven, but this is really going to hurt But just at that instant, I remember all of a sudden, the quad came down on top of me, upside down. And those 70 cattle raced over and tramped over the top of that quad. I could feel the weight of them going over the bike, but the last one went over. And you know, not one hoof out of any of those animals touched any part of my body. Isaac and Faye ran back up the lane and pulled the quad off me. And I was just so thankful that I was still there. I lay struggling for breath, but managed to crawl onto another wee bike that we had and get back to the yard and into the house to lie down. I was really struggling for breath now and felt a serious pain in my chest and my back. Then they rang for the ambulance, and they sent the ambulance, but they also sent the air ambulance that morning. But because the cattle were all around the yard and the fields close to the yard, they couldn't get the helicopter landed. It was a couple of fields, really, from the yard before they could get it down. So they decided that the doctors from the air ambulance came down, and they decided that they would go with me in the ordinary ambulance. So after all that, I didn't even get a run in the helicopter. But you know, in a very short space of time, I was in the Royal Hospital and in the scanner to see what damage had been done. But you know, the Lord had been really good to me. And I had only 6 broken ribs and a few cuts and bruises. They took me to theater and did a procedure, even to ease the pain. And just as before, the Lord had put his hand upon me and protected me. The way that quad came down on top of me, no friends, it didn't happen by chance. It was the Lord's doing. He put it exactly where it needed to be to keep me safe. You know, if one of those cattle had hit me with its foot or whatever and trampled over me, never mind all 70, I would have been killed instantly or very seriously injured. And that's Psalm 121 we read in verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." The Lord put his hand of protection upon me that morning. It was a big shock to Linda and the children and everyone that morning. You know, the night before, or on the Monday night, I was in Dunmurry giving my testimony. Little did I know that a few days later, there I would be back in hospital again. I was in hospitals for 6 days and then allowed to go home. And it was very sore at the start. It was a lot of pain. But the Lord was good to me. And day by day, the pain started to ease. And before long, I was back able to get into the office again and then back out onto the farm again to do light duties. I thank the Lord tonight for all he has done for me. He has kept his hand upon my life thus far. He has kept me here for another while. And we must live our lives for him and seek to serve the Lord. You know, we read there in John 4:11, verse 4, "This is the time when the Lord Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick. The Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." You know, I believe part of the reason for the sickness and the accident is that the Lord might be glorified in all that he has done for me, that he would have the glory and the honor. And I do say that tonight, what the Lord has done for us as a family thus far. And just as a finish, you know, just the Lord taught me many lessons at that time. There's a reason for everything. And the Lord taught me a lot of lessons. During my time in hospital, I remember seeing a lot of people that were very sick and very unwell. I remember seeing people even dying and going out into eternity. Just here 1 minute and gone the next. And that really challenged me, even about the shortness even of life. James 14, verse 4 tells us, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just as a vapor is on the window 1 minute and gone the next, so it is with your life and mine." God tells us there in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days." Matthew Henry said when he wrote on this verse, he said, "We must live under a constant apprehension of the shortness and the uncertainty of life and the near approach of death and eternity." Tonight as I finish, I want us to really think about this. Life is short. There are no guarantees in this life. Talks about man's life as 70 years. Years are made up of hours, or days and weeks. And days are made up of hours, and hours are made up of seconds. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. We're only a breath even away from eternity. It's so important that you and I are saved and ready to meet the Lord. And also we must serve the Lord if we are saved in that place where God has put us while we still have time. Read there in that Psalm 121, verse 7, says, "He shall preserve thy soul." The Lord says there, thy soul. You know, friends, tonight this is personal. This is for you and I. For each and every one that is gathered in this meeting, each one of us have a soul. And when we die, that soul will live on in eternity forever, in heaven for those who are saved, and in hell for those who are not. Friends, tonight you must have a personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, or maybe you're listening online, and as yet you're not saved, oh, it's not enough for you to say, I know of my need to be saved. I read my Bible, I go to church, I do all of these things. But you know, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is in Christ. Matthew 15 and verse 8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Yes, they knew about the things of God, knew about the word of God, but their heart wasn't right with God. We need that personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must call upon him. Put your faith and trust in him tonight. Think of what the Lord has done for you and I, how he gave his life upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for you and me. He was victorious there upon the cross over sin and death. Why? Why? That we might have a way back to God. Romans 3 and 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Think about that wee word, all. All have sinned. Young, old, rich, poor, the highest in society, right to the lowest. All have sinned in the eyes of God. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One way and only one. We have this great debt of sin in our hearts, and that sin must be punished. But the Lord Jesus Christ has taken our place upon the cross. He has paid the debt that we could never pay. No unsaved friend tonight, I would encourage you to simply come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not delay. You might say, I agree with all you say tonight. Yes, I know I need to be saved, but not yet. Not just yet. I have some things to sort out. I have some things to do. You know, none of us know what tomorrow will bring. You could leave it too late, friends. You could put it off for too long. And the Lord even could come and call upon you, and you're not ready. You wouldn't be saved. You'd end up in a lost eternity in hell. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe once you walked well with the Lord. There was a time in your life when you came and you got saved, but sadly now your heart is cold. You've lost that joy that you once had. Friends, you need to come back to the Lord tonight. Think of the prodigal son and how their father welcomed him back, even with outstretched arms. The Lord is waiting for you, even tonight, to come back to himself. Talks also about the Lord's protection in the verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. When we're saved, we're not promised that we will have no problems, that we will have no difficulties or trials or troubles or sickness. That is not the case. Many, many of God's people are called to go through the waters of affliction. But we are not alone. We have the Lord's protection and his presence and his help. Isaiah 43 and the verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God does not promise us a life of ease, but he does promise to protect us and to help us through whatever comes our way. We are never alone, for he says, I will be with thee. Think about that tonight. The Lord is with you. Whatever you're going through tonight, the Lord is with you. Look back through the word of God and see how the Lord has kept his hand even upon his servants. Daniel in the den of lions, even Joseph through all the trials and troubles that he went through. How the Lord undertook for him. Child of God tonight, isn't it wonderful to know that the very one who created the heavens and the earth in all its beauty and splendor is protecting you and I tonight. What have we to fear? We also see finally how the Lord preserves us. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God will preserve you that are his tonight. And he will help us to overcome sin and temptation. He will preserve us as we seek even to serve him and live for him. As we said, God has told us to number our days. For us as God's people tonight, we need to use the time that God has given to us wisely. We're all very busy. We all live very busy lives. We watch the clock every day. And we all have to live and work upon this earth. Whatever God has put you and I to do, maybe it's in that office, maybe it's in that factory or that school or on that farm or even in that home as you bring up a wee family. God wants you and I to serve Him. You will meet people that I will never meet. Likewise, I will meet people that you will never see. We need to use these opportunities to witness for the Lord, to tell others of their need to be saved. God has you and I there for a reason and a purpose. And we pray that the Lord will use us and that our lives would be a testimony as we seek to walk with God. God wants us to serve Him even in God's work, even in our churches. He wants you and I to get involved. We can make time for all the things we want to. God wants to be first in my life and yours tonight. You must take time to serve. You might say, well, I can't stand up at the front. There's not much I can do. But you know, God is at work for each one of us. We can pray. We can pray for the work of God, for the youth work, for all the different works that go on. Pray for our missionaries in all different parts of the world. God is at work for each and every one of us to do. You can seek to encourage those who are even going through trials or troubles, just even to send them a wee text of Scripture and let them know that you're praying for them. God has a work for each one of us to do. God preserves us and God answers prayer. Could encourage you tonight even to pray on for that loved one, that son, that daughter, that mother, that father, that brother, that sister that's not saved. You know, even in our own church in Cumber, there was a young lady and she was praying for mom and dad for many, many years, and they were prayed for even in our prayer meeting. 2 weeks ago, she had the joy of leading them both to the Lord. Last Sunday night, they were even in our prayer meeting before the service. Thank the Lord for that. Our God answers prayer. Pray that that would really encourage you to pray on, that you too would see souls saved, family members saved, and families united in Christ. Pray on for those that are sick, those that are not well, that God would put His healing hand upon them. Spend time with the Lord. Walk with the Lord each and every day. Take time to pray and live our lives for Him and to serve Him. Crown Him King of our lives, and then we will know what it is to have the Lord's presence with us. Remember tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, oh, I pray that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not put it off. Do not leave it to another day, for none of us know what tomorrow will bring. Remember how God describes our lives as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh, be ready. I really encourage you to be ready. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and the Lord will come, and the Lord will save you. Amen. Thank you.
Colin has come tonight to share his testimony. We've enjoyed what he's had to say to us. He's had trials and difficulties in his life. There's been exhortation for the unsaved here tonight. If you're not saved, come to Christ. There's exhortation for the backslider to get back to the Lord. And of course, for the Christian to walk with the Lord and serve Him with all of your heart. We pray that God will speak while the testimony is silent, while Colin is no longer standing here sharing his testimony, but something that he said will really register in your heart. Couldn't help but think of those words in James chapter 4, ye know not what shall be on the morrow, and nor do we. And for the believer, whatever tomorrow has in store for us, even if the worst happened, and by the worst I'm thinking of death, and yet that's not the worst because death means heaven. That's a wonderful thing, but we view it in that way. Even if the worst happened, it's well with us, but not you who are unready and unprepared for eternity. You need to be saved and born again. May that message register with you. I am coming to the cross. That's exactly what you need to do. And we're going to sing this hymn in closing.
I am going to the cross. I am going to the cross. I am going to the cross.
not saved, that's a prayer you need to make. Save me. You need to be saved. And save me, Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. No good in looking anywhere else. And there's even a time put on it there in the hymn. Save me now. Because now is the day of salvation. You need to come to Christ. You need to get to the cross. We sang earlier, you must be born again. And Jesus explained the new birth to Nicodemus. And then he brought him to the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he spoke of the day when he would be lifted up upon the cross. And that's where you need to get to. I'm coming to the cross. Get to the cross tonight. Heavenly Father, bless the testimony. Bless your word that we've heard. And we pray that there will be those among us tonight who will get to the cross and cry from their hearts, save me, Jesus, save me now. We thank you that salvation is real. Salvation is of the Lord. And men and women and young people can be saved right now in this meeting. May they see Christ. May this be the night of their salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.